in light of Pastor John's passing, we decided to hit pause on our generosity series this week. And we're going to have, you know, an actual memorial service. So that's not what this is, but it didn't feel right to keep going in the same vein. We've been thinking a lot about him and of what he left us, what he gave us. And I think sometimes we have, you know, an inheritance of those who go before us. And John definitely left us an inheritance of many things. I didn't work very long with Pastor John. When I was coming on staff, he was stepping out and he was moving to Texas, but I spent a good amount of time with him. I sat with him for many hours on many occasions, and he was telling me all the stories of Christ Center and all the things that took place because I was helping him write his book. And so we spent a lot of time doing that, and then going on outreach those couple of times to Cuba with him. And as I spent time with him, I got to hear his catchphrase. Now, side note, at Christ Center, our pastoral staff loves to needle one another. We love to pick up on each other's idiosyncrasies, and, you know, there are catchphrases involved. For example, Pastor Jeff, what is his catchphrase? I heard two things, awesome man of God and woohoo, and there's also have an awesome day with Jesus. So he's got like three, right? He's got three. Mark has one, but you guys don't hear it often because it happens in meetings all the time, and it's, oh, now I'm tracking. You know, that's that. I used to have one, are you with me, until Joshua stole it, because he says that way more than I do now. So now I don't think I have a catchphrase, although one time Caleb Kelson said I did. He said it was, so here's the thing, and maybe that's true. Maybe that's true. I think I maybe do say that often. Pastor John had a catchphrase that we witnessed on many occasions, and those of you who rolled with him for a long time got to hear it. It was two words. Praise God. Now, it had a variation, which was bless God. It meant the same thing. They were interchangeable. But I love that catchphrase. Praise God. He actually wrote about it in his book. I heard it on the 806. In chapter 3 from his book, here's where he talks about this. He says, Noel Campbell, who was a dear friend and an elder, he came and said, John, I think I have a name for this new church you're starting, Christ's Center, with an apostrophe S. That made me grimace. An odd name for sure, but I liked it. I liked the theme. We wouldn't put traditions of men at the center of our worship. If I was going to pastor a church, I needed Jesus to be at the center of all things. Lena Gay greeted me when I got home and said, John, I think I've got a name for the church for you. I didn't tell her that Noel had already picked a name. Oh, well, I could let her down easy. What is it? I asked. She said, well, it's a little odd, but I think we should call it Christ's Center with an apostrophe S. I laughed. Praise God. Those two words have become a central part of my personal lexicon. When God does something unexpected and awesome, I laugh and drag out the words. Praise God. How many of you guys heard him do that one? Praise. Praise God. When people would blame me for something I didn't do and leave the church without warning, I would quickly give a quick shrug and say, well, praise God. Because it doesn't matter what the situation is. God is always worthy of praise. Whether we're on cloud 9 in the heavens or going through the depths of Sheol, he's always worthy to be praised. That day I praised him for his simple confirmation. He was building a church, yes, but he was also building my faith in him. Isn't that good? Such a great catchphrase. And this is not a sermon about John Bowers, but I want to talk this morning about those two words, praise God. Psalm 113 tells us this. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. That means basically, you know, all the time that you're awake, the Lord is worthy to be praised. Are you awake this morning? Well, praise God. There's never not a good time for it. I think that if the Apostle Paul had spoken English, which he did obviously because he wrote the King James Bible. That's a joke for you kids. He did not. That might have been his catchphrase too. I think of the first chapter of the book of Philippians. For those who don't know this story, you know, it's the Apostle Paul writing to his friends, but he was in prison, and the people he's writing to have been praying for a long time that he would be released from prison. So in this letter, he's consoling them. He's in prison, but he's consoling them, right? And here's what he says. Philippians, we'll start with verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what's happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear through the whole palace garden to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. What's he saying? He's saying, well, you guys, you know, I am still being persecuted, but you know what? Praise God. He keeps going. Verse 15, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in everything, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. What's he saying? Well, you know, some people have bad motives for preaching the gospel, and that's kind of ugly, but you know what? Praise God. He's still being preached. He continues, yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that it will in no way be, I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm going on living in my body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in my body. In the body. In other words, guys, there's a real good chance that I'm going to die, and I would kind of prefer that to be with Jesus, but I'm probably going to be stuck with you. So you know what? Praise God. It's so good. Over and over again. That's what Paul's attitude is. Praise God. Good times and bad. Here's how Eugene Peterson translated Psalm 113, which we just read. I love this. This is the message. Hallelujah. You who serve God, praise God. Just to speak his name is praise. Just to remember God is a blessing now and tomorrow and always. From east to west, from dawn to dusk, keep lifting all your praise to God. Beautiful. What does it mean, though? What does it actually mean to praise God? Praise in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word we translate is halal. You say that, halal? The word carries this meaning, to make clear or to shine, to make a show of, or to boast. We talk about halaling God. But you know, we can also halal other people, you might think that sounds like blasphemy, but it's not. We can halal people, that's a good thing. For example, Boaz Kelson, where's Bo? Maybe, what's that? Oh, he's with the baby. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, you can tell him. I halaled him this morning. You know why? Well, he's our sound man. He's controlling things from out there on his iPad. But a few weeks ago, I had to step in and run sound. And that's not a great situation. That just means Andrew and Bo are gone. So I'm the third string quarterback. And the coach just tells me, just hand it off. Just no interceptions, no turnovers. Just hand the ball off. And so I came up on Saturday, and I got everything set up, and I know how to run the board, but not super well. And so I called Bo. I said, you know, I'm going to be okay. Like, I'm going to be okay. I just want to make sure if I can call you and ask questions, that would be super helpful. And he came in anyway on Sunday morning at 7:30, and he helped me, and he walked me through some things I didn't know, and he was taking me through the graphic equalizer, which I'd never played with before, and helping things, fixing things I didn't know weren't quite working. And so as a result, sound sounded good that day. It was a great gift. I love Bo's generosity. Bo is a very generous dude. And that was not only to me, that was a gift to all of you because you could hear people's voices clearly. So I just want to halal my man Boaz this morning. Halal. See, it's shining a light on somebody. That's what this is. It's shining a light, in this case, a light of praise on someone. He's out there. So let's give Bo a clap of halal. Maybe he can hear us. Now, this idea is helpful to me, this idea of shining a light. Because when I think then of halaling God, it clarifies things a little bit. It frees me up from feeling like when I halal God, when I praise God in all situations, that there's something weird attached to it. Like, for instance, right now, we have a whole bunch of sick people. My wife has been sick all week long. I didn't know that she'd be able to be in here this morning. I've been sleeping on the couch all week. Don't worry, we're okay. We're okay. How many of you guys have family members right now that are sick? Okay, lift your hands high. Okay, praise God. Well, wait a minute. Why would you say praise God? Well, you can ask, how can you praise God that people are sick? Well, here's the thing. I'm not glad that they're sick, and I'm also not saying God made them sick. Okay? That doesn't have to be attached to praising God. I don't think God is in the habit of making people sick. To say praise God, you don't have to have theological assumptions about causation. You are free to not have that. In fact, we should be free from that. You might be one that thinks God already causes all things to happen. I personally disagree with that. That is an option in the Christian faith. Many millions of people believe that. I've always had a hard time with that. It doesn't seem to match up with the character of God. But like I say, millions and millions of my brothers and sisters believe that. And it's in theological traditions that are aligning, sort of with John Calvin and different people. That's not where I am. I believe God could easily control every electron in the universe, but he's chosen not to because he prefers a universe where our choices matter. Now, that's what I believe. You are free to disagree with me on that. That's just fine. The point is, we don't have to bring those assumptions into that when we say praise God or when we praise God. We don't have to bring any of that in at all. We don't have to say, God, I'm so glad you caused my wife to be sick this week. I praise you. No, that's not what that means. So what can that mean? Well, we can simply acknowledge that God is still good. What if praising God is, Lord, I don't like the situation, but I acknowledge you're still good. It's a simple thing. How do we do that? Well, it might be easier in some times than others, right? Sometimes we might have to work backwards just a little bit. We might have to slow down, to zoom out from our circumstances, and to meditate on the gifts of God until we're able to shine our gifts, shine the light of our own gratitude. Praise God might, in other words, mean something more like this, okay? Let's just play with this, because sometimes you got to back up just a little bit from the circumstance. We could say praise God in the midst of sickness like this. Lord, I halal you for the gift of our loved ones this morning who are sick. I praise you, God, that you gave them life. I halal you because life is a profound and immeasurable gift. And even though it expires in this world and one day we're all gonna have to say goodbye, I praise you that today's probably not that day. In fact, I praise you that the people who we love and are at home sick, that their bodies are in the process of recovering, more than likely. And Lord, I halal you for the gifts of doctors and nurses. I halal you for the way that you created the brain to understand trends that happen in our body. And I praise you for chemicals and plants and all these things that help us get better. It's a wonderful thing. And even though none of those things, nor medicine, nor herbs, or doctors, or nurses, or whoever can prolong life indefinitely, they do prolong life some. And that's a good gift, isn't it? So Lord, we halal you for that. We praise you for that, for the fact that you promise that life will go on even after it ends. We can praise God in every situation, even the hard ones, because he's still worthy to be praised. Now, we can do the same thing when something good happens without making it weird, too. For example, You can go to the mall and find a good parking spot, and you can praise God without assuming that God did a special Red Sea parking lot miracle for you that morning. Now, just to like to ensure you don't have to walk another 20 feet, you know, just gonna do that. Now, you might think he does that, and that's fine, because maybe he does that on rare occasions, I don't know. But we don't have to get into the causation of the matter at all. In fact, I just generally think that kind of speculation isn't super helpful to, like, it doesn't, like, move anything forward. And so we don't even have to go there. But here's what can be helpful, is to say, Lord, I praise you. God, I thank you for the multitude of gifts you've given us. You've made civilization possible to make cars out of metals, to turn rocks into roads, and to let our boredom be turned into shopping malls. I thank you for that little old lady who just backed out of that space right as I was turning the corner. It's a very small joy, but the life you gave me involves so many small joys. Thank you, Lord, for the small joys. Praise God. Do you see that? He's always going to be worthy to be praised. In good circumstances, bad circumstances, there's always a reason to praise God. The Hebrew people for many centuries have had a prayer they pray before they eat. It's gone something like this. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. I love that simple prayer. How powerful is that? God, you're the ultimate source, so we bless you. Bless God. We praise you. Praise God for your ultimate generosity. Every good and perfect gift comes from you in the end. Life is a miracle. This world is such a miracle that food grows from vines. But then, of course, there are times when it's hard to see the miracle. There are times we feel too paralyzed to praise God. It's hard to see it because the griefs and the fears and all the things we hold are so full. You know, what do we do then? Do we fake it? Do we pretend? I don't think God's asking us to pretend. I think we're invited to praise God even there. But it's not always easy to get there, let's be honest. Sometimes we have to lay it all out there, you know? The Psalms are full of lament. Full. Some of them are so raw, they might make us blush. These people in pain telling God how they feel. Famous one is Psalm 13. Just listen. Listen to this. The anger here. How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Dude, he's upset. He is upset. What's going on? We don't know. But it's bad. Have you ever felt like God's face is hidden? Have you ever felt like God was ghosting you? That's where he is. Maybe you're feeling like that today. Maybe you've lost someone. Maybe you're mourning John Bowers. And when grief comes in, it's like fear and other kinds of trauma. It can cover our eyes and make us feel like hiding, you know? Like sorrow is all that we can touch, that we can feel. And here's an example of a person in that place. He told God all of it. He laid it out there. We've said this before, and we'll say it again. Friends, this is allowed. This is allowed. God's closest friends throughout Scripture are those who haggle with him, who argue with him, who tell him what they think and feel, who let them see and hear. This is allowed. Now, that might sound scandalous to you, but I'm telling you the truth. God invites all of our emotions. Just think about some of the greats, right? Abraham arguing with God about the judgment of Sodom. Moses getting upset about his own mission and about God's response to the people. The prophets, Samuel, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, Jonah, all of these guys telling God, I don't like this. This doesn't seem right to me. I don't understand why you do this. Are you even good? Do you even hear me? I think you're making a mistake. And God zapped exactly none of them. He could have. Zero lightning bolts in those situations. We have no record of someone getting zapped when they're pouring out their heart to God. I wondered if I would get zapped a couple of times. But I have not. God is inviting us, just like them, into an actual dialogue. He's calling us into a house of fellowship shared by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A place where questions and tears are always welcome. Friends, always welcome. And then there's David, who began that psalm. The great psalmist, the one who emulated him in that prayer book. He comes to this place over and over again. He asks, how long will you hide your face? He lets his anger out. How long are you going to avoid me, Lord? I've followed you and I'm upset and I'm scared. And he lets all the grief and anger pour out of him until he finds something else down there. An ember, a little bit of glowing love for God is there, and it comes in the form of memory. He says, but, verse 5, I have trusted in your steadfast love. Yeah, I remember that. And my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me. I shall rejoice. I will sing. I'm in desperation. I'm alone. I'm afraid. I'm not sure I can even get out of my bed this morning, but I will sing. And I wonder, you know, I wonder what he meant by saying will. Did he mean I can't yet, but I will? Did he mean I will do that right now? I truly don't know, but I know this. Sometimes praise has to begin with lament. It has to begin by getting the sadness out, sometimes getting the anger out and just trusting God that he's going to receive you. It's like coming to a mother or a father when you're little and saying, listen, I have to say some things and I don't even understand it, but all of this is churning. Can I just get this out? Can I just tell you? I think God has been waiting for a long time for some of you to do that. He can see it already, you know? He can see it already. So why do we hide from him? Makes me think when my daughters were little and I would be in the other room and they would say, Daddy, come find us. And I'd come in and I'd see this blanket in the middle of the floor with these two moving lumps. You know, you're like, gee, where could they be? And you know, you're walking around like, oh, right here. I can't see them anywhere. Are they in the light bulb? No. You know, well, I got to sit down and think about it. And you sit down on one of those lumps. Ah, Daddy, oh my goodness. Sometimes I think we're that silly when we're like, no, I'm not going to show you what's in here. But he's like, I already see it. You guys, I'm God. And sometimes we have to begin with lament in order to unearth that praise. And that is allowed. There is grace for that. And then there are sometimes in some of those psalms of lament, and this is trickier, when he doesn't come back and it doesn't resolve. Psalm 88 is a good example of that. It's a brutal, tragic psalm. And in the end, he can't do it yet. He can't come around just yet. I can't quite get there. And there are days when maybe you can't quite get there. And you know what? Guys, I think there's grace for that too. You know why? Because we're a family. And when we gather, when sons and daughters gather to praise God, sometimes you might not have the strength as an individual to even do that. And if that's you today, I want to tell you, that's okay. We will praise him for you. There were days like that, you guys, for me, when I was in such a dark place. And I didn't have hope. And so I would rely on those who were close to me. I would rely on Pastor Joshua and Janelle and Mark and Paul and Anne and some of my dear friends to come around and believe for me, and Pastor Red and Ed. One day I was up here and I preached, and I was going through such a hard time, just being really honest, and they both came right alongside me and lifted my arms in praise. That is what a family does. If you're not in a place when you can praise God, that's okay. The family will praise for you until you can get there. And that's always available for you. And we trust you will be able to get there. When I was growing up, we used to sing this song. We bring a sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. Remember that song? I used to ask my parents, what does that mean? And they said, well, some days we don't feel like praising at all. But when we come, and in those times when we don't feel like praising and we do it anyway, that is a sacrifice we give God, and that's even more precious. It's more precious, you know? Anyone can love their spouse on their wedding day and feel great about their marriage. But what about when the chips are down? What about in times when there's great sickness and fear? What about those times? Can you still love on those days? When we can bring our praise to God, even in the dark times, friends, it is precious and it is beautiful. Oh, I've had those kind of times with you guys too. I remember 6 years ago sitting with some of you in Janae McWilliams' hospice room, and she was sitting on her bed, slipping away from all of us, and we were jammed in there like sardines. And Paul Nunn had his guitar, and he started playing all these songs that we had sang together with her for so many years. And my family is sitting at her bed, holding her hands, and some of the kids are on top of her, and some are at her feet, and we're just weeping. And we could maybe only sing one out of every 10 syllables in that moment. Not just us, but everyone in there. But together, we were able to praise. Some of the most precious and painful moments of life are when we have 800 pounds worth of hopelessness mingled with only a single ounce of praise and faith. That is a mustard seed, and it is precious. That's what we do as a family. We praise together. We lift our halals together. Blessed are the mustard seed people. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are all of us, because the kingdom will be fully realized one day. And though we're not there yet, we know he's coming. Can I have the worship team come back? So what we're going to do this morning is sing a little bit more together. We're gonna raise our halals, even if we're hurting. And for whatever reason, that there might be many reasons that you're hurting this morning. Maybe it's because of the passing of Pastor John. Maybe you're mourning someone else. Maybe you're hurting deeply with other things in your lives. I know many of you are dealing with incredibly difficult situations in your life. And maybe you feel like you only have something small to shine on the goodness of God. Whatever you have, we welcome it. And at the same time, you might not be able to get there quite today. That's okay. You might be grieving in some way. Maybe you lost someone. Maybe someone is at your fingertips and you feel like you're going to lose someone. Maybe you have a family member who is far from God. Maybe you have a family member whose mental health is so precarious that you think you might lose them. Whatever it is, I invite you to raise your halal. And if you can't, just sit there. Just sit there and tell God about it. If you need to lament first, that's okay. That's okay. Feel free to sit. Feel free to lean on the praise of those around you. We will gladly carry that for you this morning. So let's carry one another. Can we do that this morning? Let's carry one another as we shine on Jesus, as we give him our praise. Let's raise our hallelujahs to the Lord. We're going to sing gratitude this morning. Can you stand together? We're going to sing this song, and we're just going to end the service with a time of singing. So let's praise Jesus.